Hello everyone, my story is called In Seka's Country, which is Montenegro, which is also my country, my home country, and for those of you who don't already know this, should I say it again?
Yeah.
It's a very small country. In fact, my mom is here tonight, so it's already 1% of population. Okay. Montenegro is a cool, small country, and it has a beautiful coastline and good, honest people, but this story is not about it and not about them. It's about Seka, the trafficker, a madame, and, you know, here's Seka. I wake up before 9 because my mobile phone rings. I mouth, "Fuck it," fatly into the pillow. My upper lip feels too tight again because of the latest collagen injection, and last night I even noticed several small bruises above it. Fine, the doctor dog will give me my money back, or I'll sue him Montenegro style, take expensive things from his pathetic little clinic. The phone screen flashes with the words, "The friend." Well, well. The friend never calls mortals unless he's hurting. "Hello, Tiger." I like to be a peppy baby when he calls. "Why up so early? Pussy craving for breakfast, aren't you?" "That too, that too. Hello, Beachlet," the friend replies, attempting to sound breezy. "You're worried, baby, I can tell," I say, holding the mobile phone to my ear while rushing to the toilet, where I try to urinate quietly, but it comes out insanely loudly. An enchanted river, waterfalls, birds, oh, and a prince galloping on a horse across its shallow surface. That's a fart in cadences. The friend answers, "Well, to be honest, Sonia's case is avalanching into a bit of a to-do. The opposition wants something big before the election, and this is an unexpected gift for them. Sonia mentioned your name to the shelter women, and now I'm told you must be picked up by the police. You're better off checking into the police station voluntarily. They want you there today, 10 a.m. now, in other words. Sonia will be there to confirm it was you who kept her in that flat and, you know, rented her." "That's scum," I hiss, still on the toilet, not wanting to flush while on the phone with the president of the country. He calls her Sonia now, not that girl, the Russian, or the Russian girl, although frankly, she's a Moldovan. Men are so easily manipulated by the victim role. All my girls are volunteers. Both the local and the important ones. Why else would they travel across the border answering the agricultural ads that so poorly hide the fact they would become prostitutes? But while I own them, if they prefer the victim role, I let them inhabit it. I know, the friend sighs, his thoughts already somewhere else. I can tell, but that's okay. Because I want to flush the toilet and clear my throat too. I sound more and more like a 50-year-old with throat cancer. "Okay, I'll do this for you know who," I say, ungluing my thighs from the toilet seat. "For you and my son. I don't want the neighbors to see me get in the police car. It's good my boy is at my parents'." "How is he?" the friend asks, his voice trained to fall softly where bits of political kitsch are called for, like visiting the peasants with sick children during campaigns. "He's improving, thank God," I say. "Actually, thanks to your brother. Maybe the job in the car washing department will make a man out of my little ape. But don't you worry, Tiger, I'll fix this. That Russian trash can't hurt me, not in my country." I bite my tongue. "Our country. Right, well, keep a low profile and don't be too late for the police officers. You know, they're like doctors, big egos. Kiss you, Peachlet. Yeah, Tiger. See you later. Bye. Back in my bedroom, I part my Hermes pattern blackout curtains. The air in Podgorica is clean after last night's heavy rain. The colors outside so intense, they make me sick. The blue, green and yellow through my window will remain clear for another couple of hours. Then they'll become dimmed by clouds of diesel carved out of jammed herds of ancient cars milling up and down the main boulevard that runs wide and tree-lined through the whole town. Dimness works for me just fine. That's the time of day I'm ready to go out into this kingdom of bone-sucking dogs. They all look at me like, there she goes again, the angry Madame Seca. But the sucker dogs would fuck me spermless if only they could afford it. So when I see them looking, I say, found your bone yet, suckers? What the fuck does the French phrase keep a low profile mean? Maybe wear long and shapeless pants? I put some makeup on in front of the mirror wall and decide to go for the black leather pants as something not very sexy, yet still definitely not shapeless. Semi-low profile. I match this with a see-through top, I just have to. Red bra underneath. I go out. I get into my car. My big SUV baby. I adjust the rear view mirror my way so that I can see only my eyes in it. I have no stomach for the way others look behind wheels of their silly cars. And besides, I start thinking this. Why is it me the police want? I'm just doing my job. I'm actually a new age feminist. I think men are weaklings. Still, I've had all my unruly body hair permanently removed. When I enter the chain-smoking friendly premises of the police station, I bring sunshine in with me. The police officer's hard faces warn me to keep zitto unless absolutely necessary and then to say just yes or no. Then I have to stand with two extra losers behind the ghost mirror and give Sonia a chance to confirm my ID and have me locked up. Well, that might happen in Neverland, but not in my country. So I mouth, "You're dead." to the devil's window and give my Jack Nicholson stare. And I feel her collapse out there. She's that scared of me. Better luck next time, Slutto. For me, this operation has the duration of an uncomplicated abortion. For the Moldovan, it probably had the importance of childbirth. But the child is still born today. The police officers inform me that Sonia failed to ID me. They all look as if a heavy stone has been lifted from their chests. Don't worry, I console the police inspector, the one who likes putting rather sharp objects into my girls. She's not a war hero, just a pile of human garbage from Moldova, not even Russia. She needs a long time to be ready to face me, but she won't live to tell. I have to reassure him, gently though. Men react strangely during a crisis. My strength ferments their hostility. I'm gathering reliable allies. So I have the social ritual cup of sweet Turkish coffee with the police inspector and his typist, while the shelter manager woman is screaming something behind the door of his office. "You're all rapists," she yells. "You're all murderers. It's not over." I'm speeding up, then down, then up the main boulevard again, listening to my music and giving myself some coke before I go and act it up with the girls. I visit them every day, including weekends, including after-party, massive hangover days, every single day of the year at this time, around lunch, to make sure they're there and alive. I feed them. and I deliver the needs stated the previous day. According to yesterday's whining, three of them need ultra pads for periods and another three tampons for the last days. 1 liter of boric acid, toilet paper, they can never have too much toilet paper, 2 lipsticks, creamer red, sleeping pills, vagina leads, chamomile tea, antiseptic cream, cotton wool balls, and always this, stockings. Lord, if I could have all the money I spent in stockings back, I could retire to a Sandy Lane resort somewhere. I park the car in front of the villa that has a neon sign saying Hermitage across its unfinished, unpainted facade. I own this marvel of architecture. I keep the girls in a garçonnière above the nightclub I'm letting to some dirt dog. Hermitage, the name, my idea. I have to think of everything, of course. Not a sound is heard from inside. I take the items I bought for the girls out of the trunk. The spiral staircase takes me up to the balcony of their dungeon. It takes a while to unlock and lift all the bars and steel shutters, but when I do, boy, it's loud in there. I leave the bags in the kitchen and walk through into their room. All the girls are in some phase of menses. It happens when cats spend time together, and it's not good news for my trade. Tense, fragile, wired, quarrelsome, it feels like entering a beehive. I raise the hype from my lips. No smiling during girls' time. Hey, hey, I'm in. I'm talking now, silence. What's up with Anissa? I ask. She has the blue angel crisis again, one of the girls says. Anissa is lying fetus-like on her mattress, staring at the opposite wall, quietly wailing, stomach bloated. The room smells of fungi in a turtle shell. Bare mattresses disarranged on the floor, 2 wardrobes agape with nylon clothes pouring out, 1 naked bob hanging from the ceiling, always turned on, no outside light coming in since the wooden shutters and the windows are closed and nailed behind them, iron cage bars. This room is aired only when I come and unlock the adjoining kitchen, where I open the balcony. This is how Sonia escaped. I came in the morning after the party during which Maric's dog almost burned her cunt to ash. I came to help her survive it, and I saw her sitting in the corner while the others were still sleeping. She was smoking what must have been her 99th cigarette, and the room looked like a battlefield after a rout. My lungs shrank into raisins, so I walked back to the balcony door and opened it to air this garçonnière. At that moment, Sonia stretched like a puma, 3 leaps and a jump. She pushed me. I fell on the cooker. She was out, jumped over the rail and ran for her life. There was no chance of catching up with her. The other bitches woke up. I had to stay with them and scare the morning shit out of them. I put the cage bars on the balcony the day after Sonia's flight, but I had already lost Sonia to the shelter. The politically correct kind of shelter, because these 2 rooms above the nightclub are also some fucking shelter, right? To hell with that. I have a job to do. Hey, Anissa, come back to reality, I yell at the tiny blonde curled on the mattress. I'm pregnant, she says. Nope. Yes. No, you stupid bitch. You can never be pregnant. Get up and let me check you over. It's probably just your period, you motherfucking smell. I'm going to have a baby, Anissa's blue eyes light up. Hey, you stupid cow, read my lips. You are a no baby case. Now get up. I can't, I have vertigo. Vertigo, huh? What's this, a philosophy class? Listen, I shove her heart, roll her over. I'm in the right kind of mood to beat some loose bag up. I kick her half-heartedly somewhere in the kidney area. Anissa's so petite, so gentle. Her face is cute, big blue eyes, tiny nose, sweet little mouth. She's the friend's favorite poodle. I grow jealous at how much he likes to play with her. He tightens the leash around her neck and naked they stroll around the party. She's overused, Anissa, but I hate giving her a break. I have dark urges to see her killed by fucking, but the businesswoman in me knows better. I can't afford to lose Anissa as well after I lost Sonia, the dancer made of rubber. They rarely come with some kind of talent, these girls. I kneel on the floor, take her head in my hands, and unstick her woolly hair from her face. Okay, when she's past morning sickness, give her something to eat and let her stay in a bed. She'll be unpregnant again tomorrow. I get up with a little jump. I'm very strong. Gym clothes are my second skin. Even in high heels, I can kick and run, hard and fast. I look at the girls, really look at them, one by one. Very carefully. Who are these girls? Suddenly, this softness. I give a fuck about their biographies. Why? Age? My own boy growing up? I will have to leave this job one day, and that day is just around the corner. I take a vial out of my purse and haul hard like a horse. Twice, discarding the previous weak thought. I'm not an addict. I'm not the type. I simply always have the drugs on me, and like the beekeeper has to try the honey, I try my goods, make sure they breed only good feelings. Anissa still moaning, a little dying kitten balled up on the floor, ribs prominent even through the 3 sweatshirts she has on. Always cold. Like all women born and raised in poverty, their youth and beauty fading away early, leaving no trace. I want to see my blue angel, Sonia, Anissa says, looking at me. Shut your filthy mouth. And for the record, Sonia is dead, I hiss back, taking the mobile phone out of my purse as a full stop signal. This news stirs the girls. They don't know what to think of Sonia's escape, but they probably think anywhere is better than chez moi. But if I say Sonia is dead, turning my back on this undercurrent of panic, I dial Marić. Marić, or the boss, as everyone calls him, is about 50 years old. In money terms, he's the real owner of Montenegro. He pays the police and state intelligence from his own pocket. He knows all the secrets. Marić keeps the president's or the friend's own millions somewhere safe. The source of their huge wealth is simple and not even scary: cigarette smuggling. The friend never gives me any money. We have a clean relationship. Marić pays me monthly, cash in advance, serious money, but he damages my girls. He tortured Sonia, fuck her up the ass with Chivas bottles, kick her in the mud during winter storms, and burn her with cigarettes, stab them all over her. But that stupid bitch danced for him whenever he ordered her to dance, and what a dance it was. Hers was a dancer's body. A firm muscle of a butt that followed any rhythm. The beat of drums jumped up her flesh. She slithered like a cat, stiffened like a porcelain geisha, rolled herself softly into a cobra, her eyes devouring, bewildered Marić as if he were her prey. Her wiry legs stretched easily all the way apart until her cunt rested on the table. Everyone was mesmerized. That talent came from her gypsy father, she told me. She could do it on any surface, did it mostly on the tables for us. Her face became beautiful. Then Marić would take her out somewhere, and I'd find her hours later, a hair split from being dead. He always answers the phone. If the display flashed with the words death calling, he'd answer it. Hi, Marit. What's up? Seka, don't hide your number when you dial me, okay? Why not? I want to surprise you, Dolce Vita boy. I've had not so great a morning, thank you, and I want some comfort. Besides, don't you have some little device, Bond-like, that discloses who's calling anyway? The girls start fidgeting, then fighting over the goods I brought for them, their voices losing control in the hormones-filled room, becoming high-pitched hysterical. And with Anissa's constant moan, the place suddenly turns into a pigsty before an earthquake. Oh, and are you in your whorehouse? Oh, please, don't say you're calling me from there, says Marit angrily. Silence, your shitheads, I yell at the girls. I'll just kill them today, all of them, and who's gonna miss them? Oh, sorry, you and your buddies would miss them probably. And why not call you from here? Who's gonna spy on you? Don't be shallow, Seika. Did you say shallow? Look, sexy, I'm not your ordinary little buddy who's gonna leak every time you call. And you phone me from your whorehouse and haven't as yet told me why, so I'm guessing you need money, is that it? Why don't you just say so? Don't pussyfoot around, you're not a teenage slut. Quod licet Iovi, not licet Bovi, says Marit, the Latin lover. Yeah, yeah, and licet assum meum dickheadus, I say, scratching his ear with my voice. Well, this is slightly amusing, otherwise I would completely cut you out of my life. I have 2 minutes. Why did you call? Marit is a late bloomer where his sex life and its deviations are concerned. And men like that, I don't respect. But having the friend and Marit interested in you means mini power, means money, means a future. I would do anything for my son, even quiet down the wounded dragon in me and regress to a pussycat. Oh, amigo, I say, you know, I just feel I'm all alone in this affair. I mean, I was the only one interviewed in the police station. Sonia was still too weak to confirm the ID this time, but, well, it's not over. They're pampering her in that shelter, but she has cigarette burns all over her vagina from you, man. So I reckon you and the friend should protect me, you with your money and he with his actions. I plan to provide some more reassurance, but Marit's end is suddenly mute, as in hung up on me mute. Conversation kaput. To hell with it. But then the thought strikes. They want me dead. Marit and the friend, they don't want Sonia dead. They want her back in her own Moldova or Canada or the US. They don't care, just not Montenegro. But they want me dead because I'm an institution. And so are they. They are the state institution, and I'm the entrepreneur. They're still in communism, and I've gone ahead, back to capitalism. It's kind of complicated for me to explain now, but I sense they want me dead because they know no other way to deal with the new age capitalist entrepreneurial feminist, me. It's the obvious clash of characters during times of transitions. Oh, fuck it, I always have to fight men, even the ones listed as friends. I look at the girls. They are my employees, my soldiers, my army. I need to feed them well first, and then start training them for combat. All I need to do is give the loaded Beretta from my purse to one of them. To crazy Anissa, most probably. Crazy as she is, she still has the biggest urge for self-defense. And send her to Marit for a night. That dog can't resist burning the cute ones. All I have to say to Anissa beforehand is, your blue angel told you never to let him hurt you. Nobody knows I have the Beretta, only the father of my son. He gave it to me long time ago. The police only know about the Colt Combat 45. They issued a permit for me to carry that one. That man, my son's father, used to be a famous footballer. He's not a person anymore. Now he's a fluid, running like spilled brandy from one back street in this town to another. I see him sometimes and I put some money into his pocket. He probably loses it, the running liquid X-Man. Anyway, he can't harm me. In fact, nobody fucking can. Now, first things first, feed the girls.